1 John chapter 2. The Apostle John, again addressing the saints, which was under his stewardship, okay, which also found refuge in the knowledge of his apostolic office. He says, first he's going to be addressing little children. As we read this particular chapter, okay, when he says, my little children, let's go back for a moment in the first chapter. The little children are those which become double-minded, as James said. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The little children are those which are trying to discover the things of God through carnal things. The little children also are those which are struggling. They're just been born into the kingdom of God, and they're struggling with their conscience and with the new knowledge. Because old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. As the Apostle Paul said again, forget those things which are behind and reach forth to the things which are before. The Apostle Paul and John agree together on this, as the Apostle James, that we can no longer build on Moses, nor can you build a relationship with God with your frailty. These are the little children. They're trying to build a relationship with God on their frailty, which works with the moral code. Frailty works in the moral code because it continually addresses the struggles of the flesh. This is why many Christians are defeated. It's because they're trying to forge a relationship with God with the moral code, and because they have nothing to reflect with or reciprocate with, reflect on or reciprocate with, not understanding the testimonies of the Lord, they end up not only wearying themselves, but they begin to charge God with folly, thinking that God doesn't love them. And when they get into that state of mind, which is also a state of confusion, of darkness, they feel at this point that not only that God does not love them, but that he has abandoned them. So they continue to try to build on precept a form of relationship when they quote scriptures, where it says, God shall never leave me or forsake me. And the Lord is my shepherd. And the Beatitudes. And the law of Moses. They become more aggressive in trying to forge a relationship on precept and event theology. Well, David did this, so I'll do that. Samson did that, so I do this. Abraham did that, so I'll do that. Jesus did that, so I'll do that. Jesus fasted 40 days, and well, maybe that's what I'll do. They become entangled in event theology, trying to, imitate the lives of these biblical characters. But you notice that when you try to imitate the life of these biblical characters or visit historical sites or holy sites, no holiness rubs off on you. No sanctification takes place. There's no exchange. These are little children are thinking. And the Apostle Paul says, in malice be children, but in understanding be men, as the Apostle Paul said. Don't be children in your thinking. Because children are trying to create a relationship on the moral code. But as you continue in the faith, as your trust in the Lord starts to take form, because you learn to trust in God. Trust is developed through contact. The word trust itself has to do with a building and joining together. A trust. So trust is something more than just a word. It's an activity. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, as Proverbs says, and lean not to your own understanding. The understanding has to do with the tethering of your frailty and your failures. The moral code always addresses your failures and always addresses your struggles. And your conscience being defiled, you're trying to find clarity through the moral code. And when you feel that you have a grasp on things by scriptural application of precept, you call that form if the results are positive, you say it's Jesus, but it's not Jesus. You just got to a point of convincing yourself, that you felt at that point that you have achieved, a modification of the moral code, and that's all it is a modification of the moral code. It's not a relationship with God at all. So the little children are those which are struggling with these things in their mind. And as long as you continually work with carnal things, Satan will continue to rule over you. But now the Apostle John says in chapter 2, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Okay, don't remain tethered to Satan's perspective. His kingdom will rule your thinking. And when his kingdom rules your thinking, he also provides a false witness. A seducing spirit is a false witness. A seducing spirit works with your, with your emotional makeup, your passion and your emotional makeup. Okay, whereas the Apostle John bring out these particular three things: lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The lust of flesh has to do with emotional makeup, as the lust of the eyes has to do with intellectual prowess. It has to do with that. A lot of people try to discover a relationship with God, okay, by trying to set doctrine in order, okay, rather than walk by faith. Setting doctrine in order, people, this is a journey of a whole lifetime's work. A journey of lifetime and a lifetime of work here, trying to set order to doctrine, and delving into many different manuscripts, and trying to make take all the scriptures that you feel necessary, and make a collage out of it, and that collage is going to be the image of Jesus' face, and you're going to say, ah, I have seen the Lord, and in the very end, you have seen nothing but a reflection of your own aspiration, or that aspiration is your moral code. Okay, people resource knowledge for the moral code as really also resource passion for the moral code. Okay, trying to build an understanding of themselves. Okay, if my gospel be of men, it addresses the flesh. If my gospel be of God, it addresses your faith. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Galatians. Okay, if I'm called of man, then that's who I am servant to. If I'm called of God, then that's who I am servant to. If I'm called of God, then my service to him is himself. Okay, not another person, because to do that, you become double-minded or a traitor, okay, as Satan. Now let's go on here. My little children, okay, these things write unto you, sin not. Don't tether yourself to your feelings. Don't allow your feelings to dominate you. You have entered the door of a new experience and a new kingdom, so you have to learn the rules. Okay, it's like moving from one house into another house, okay, or moving from your home into a dormitory, okay, or moving from your or leaving home and joining the military, okay. When you, whatever institution you enter into, you learn the rules of the house, okay. And as it is the same thing with God's kingdom, okay. You're no longer living in Satan's house. In Satan's house, okay, everything orbited around your own principle and aspiration. Okay, that means you fought to try to control and to dominate or destroy, to confirm or disallow, okay, anything according to your moral code. That was Satan's kingdom. Okay, but now you're coming to the house of the Lord. Coming into the house of the Lord, you come in and you have to sit and listen. Okay, before you have to know what the rules are in order for you to function properly. Okay, and the functionality is your priesthood. Okay, you just can't come in and start offering anything you want. You have to understand, okay, you have to be educated to the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus had to educate the people to this new kingdom. He doesn't say, behold, the kingdom of God is here. Let's come on in. You know, do what you want. No, Jesus taught them. You have to learn of me. You have to take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In other words, in comparison to Moses, my burden is easy, and my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So Jesus says, it's me. Okay, I am the new yoke. I am the invisible kingdom. My presence here is in representation, okay, of an invisible kingdom. Okay, so he goes on, these things write unto you that sin not. Not to be double-minded or pursue carnal things. Now, if any man sin, verse 2, that means become double-minded, we have an advocate. Okay, so the little children become double-minded, okay, by false knowledge, okay, but we apostles, as we says here, we apostles have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The apostles set order to your experience. That's why he says we. If any man sin, we. First he says you, but then he says we. Okay, we apostles, as a refuge, okay, in a priesthood. And as a judge, okay, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So the word we has to do with that. We're setting order to your thinking for your priesthood so that the Father will continue to nurture you and chasten you. Okay, cleansing, purging, as it brought out in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, now if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John, or Apostle Peter or James, okay, they're setting the bone for your healing. Okay, that we are establishing an understanding and teaching you a new perception. Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our standard. Okay, verse 3, or verse 2 now. Now he is a propitiation for our sins. Okay, Jesus Christ, okay, in his priesthood removes all the offenses which are bound by the law, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Colossians 2, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it away, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. By his sacrifice, he prepared himself as a record so that Satan cannot make any intrusion into this priesthood, as he did in the first priesthood, where everything was consumed with death. So he is the propitiation, not the substitution, the propitiation. Okay. All right. Jesus being the propitiation for our sins becomes the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, and as the sons of Aaron, okay, they are to bear the sin of the sanctuary, and they are to bear the sin of the people and the priesthood, which means the bear has to do with the taking on the yoke of the responsibility for their sanctification. If the priesthood is contaminated, so are the people, and as people, as priests, so will I judge. Okay, Jesus is our propitiation. He represents us before the Father. Okay, and he bears our iniquity. Okay, which means he takes responsibility to remove that yoke from us. Jesus bore our sins and carried our sorrows. Okay, he circumcised from us those things that offend God and those things that spoil faith. That's exactly what Jesus said. I pray that you take them not out of the world, okay, but that you keep them from the evil, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus, in saying these things, says that the false knowledge of Satan's kingdom will not dominate my kingdom. So therefore, he says that they are not of the world. The world has to do with a system of thinking. Okay, as the Gentiles. The Gentiles are always projecting for the worst. So that they set a pattern, okay, of they set for themselves a pattern of correction before anything happens. Okay, that's the thinking of the Gentiles. Okay, but our thinking is according to Christ, which is a faith. Okay, whereas God is our caretaker. So he is a propitiation for our sins. Now, underline the word sins there. Now, see the word sins and sin. Sins has to do with the product, as sin has to do with the kingdom. Every kingdom has its own product, okay, just like in the factories today. The factories today produce a product, okay, that have a trademark on it. Okay, that trademark represents that corporation, that company. Okay, and God also has a trademark, okay, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, which is a result of his creation. Okay, for we've been created anew in Christ, as the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, so he is a propitiation for our sins. And the word sins there has to do, okay, as he took responsibility to remove the yoke of the false knowledge in that kingdom and influence of that kingdom. Everything of Satan is going to be destroyed. Okay, so that all it takes is faith and patience on your part. So he is a propitiation for our sins. He's already set the pattern. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's provided a release. And we will see the full manifestation of that in the millennium of Christ's reign. Okay, the whole world would have been circumcised from Satan's influence, from his presence, from his knowledge, and from his fruit. Okay, that's during the millennium. Okay, we will see the same thing take place again in new heavens, new earth, wherein dwells righteousness, as Peter said. Okay, nothing that's less than God himself will be present in this dimension, okay, during the time, okay, of the new heavens and new earth. Okay, because anything less than him, okay, which is, he calls it, of a beastly nature, That which anything that makes and works a lie. Okay, nothing that has the image of death in it, which is Satan's image. Nothing that has the image of death. Okay, nothing that has that resources, other knowledge, other substance, other than God Himself. Okay, only the righteous at that time. So here we can see this right here, and also for the whole world. But the whole world is under darkness right now. So it seemed to me, if we interpret this scripture right here in the present day circumstances, we would feel that God has failed. But God hasn't failed. Okay, the things which He wrote of here are perpetual, beginning in the heart. Okay, and then from the inside out. Okay, that we would serve Him, right, in spirit, soul, and body, from the inner to the outer, from the sanctuary, from the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, to the outer court. Okay, the designing of the temple also shows us the design of the work of Christ within us, called the effectual working. The effectual working has to do with the activity of His priesthood. As the priest was in the inner sanctuary, once a year he would enter to the Most Holy, all right, with the blood of an animal. Okay, and with the blood of animal, he would enter the Most Holy and smear the horns of the altar of incense, okay, in the Holy of Holies. Okay, making an atonement for all the people once a year. Okay, and this is what Jesus did for Himself, for Himself, by Himself, for eternity. Okay, entering into the holy place in the bosom of the Father, He has now prepared a place for us. That's what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay, when Moses said this to Aaron, he says, this tabernacle and this temple is a place I prepared for your priesthood. Okay, but Jesus says no longer is going to be in a tabernacle of an earthly sanctuary made with animal skins and constructed with wood and gold. Okay, but this is going to be in my Father Himself. Okay, I prepare a place for you. Okay, your priesthood is being prepared by me so that you can enter into the most holy place. That's where I will await you. Okay, in the most holy place called the mansions. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's go to verse 3 here. And hereby we do know that we know Him. So a relationship is in knowing Him. Okay, you can't say you know God, okay, apart from this. Okay, your knowledge of God is nothing but in precept and imagination. But here the true knowledge of Him is in fruit bearing, which we just read about. And hereby we do know that we know Him. How? If we keep His commandments. Now underline the word commandment there. Okay, and underline the word if. The word if has to do with choice, and the commandment has to do with the activity. Okay, if you choose the activity of your faith, then you will know God. Okay, and herein is my Father glorified, to bear much fruit, so shall be my disciples, as Jesus said. If we keep His commandments, this is choice. Okay, verse 4. Now, there's going to be a lot of people say that they love Jesus, but look what they can do. They're not going to keep His commandments. Do you know why? Because they don't know what His commandments are. They think His commandments are the Ten Commandments. Every time you see the word commandment, immediately they think of Moses. Okay, and you can tell because that's what they revert to. But he says, well, I'm keeping His commandments. I'm keeping the Sabbath day. Okay, I'm not going to covet. Okay, I'm going to tithe. Okay, I'm going to do everything that Moses said. But that's not the commandments Jesus is talking about. Okay, first of all, He's talking about two different kinds of commandments here. Commandments that are in relation to Himself, and commandments which also were in relation to the past, okay, of all other covenants. God made many covenants with the people. He made general covenants and He made specific covenants. Okay, He made a covenant with Abraham, okay, and He also made a general covenant, which had to do with him and his seed. Personal covenant, the great and precious promises, Peter said. This is what God does with us today. The great and precious promises. Okay, God rewards our faith. Okay, with a joining to Him. He that says, because he does join the Lord as one spirit. Okay, as Paul said. Okay, he that says I know Him and keeps not His commandments is a liar, because he's working by a different system and by a different pattern. How do we know this? Because and the truth is not in Him. Okay, truth, we're not talking about truths as denominational substance here. We're talking about truth as concerning the record of God. The record of God does not exist within him. The pattern of Christ is not understood, for his priesthood is defiled, okay, and his faith is reprobate. This is what Paul brings out. Okay, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. The things that they do in the name of God, okay, are not those things which are sanctified by God for their faith. Okay, and many will say in the day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many fun and wonderful works in your name? Okay, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Now, God didn't say anything that was says, well, devils, you can't cast out devils to be mine. Now, he wasn't saying that. But he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Okay, the record which you were following was not me, but you were following event theology. Okay, you were trying to imitate or reenact an apostolic Christianity apart from me. This is what a lot of people try to do today. They say, let's get back to the book of Acts. Okay, but you can't get back to the book of Acts because the book of Acts began there in Pentecost in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. You can't go back in time. Okay, we are the 21st century apostolic, okay, not the first century, but we're following the same record. The first century apostolic, they didn't have computers. We're 21st century apostolic. We have computers. Okay, so we are not imitating the people, but we're following Christ. As they follow Christ, we follow Christ. They understood the record, we understand the record. Okay, they work with the technology that was available to them, we work with the technology that's available to us. They began in Jerusalem, we began in the ends of the earth. Okay, the Jerusalem event went from there, the hub, out to the tire. Now, from the Gentiles, it's going to end in Jerusalem. How do we know that? Because the two witnesses will be killed in Jerusalem. Okay, that's where it's going to end. Okay, it goes from the center to the outside, from the outside to the center. Okay, so here he's a liar, verse 4. Okay, a liar, a one that's following a different record. He's using his own passion, his own precept, his own understanding. Okay, he wants to remain independent of government. Okay, because they say, yeah, apostles, they're real, but they're not for today. That's a liar. They say, well, truth, okay, yeah, truth is necessary but unattainable. We can't know what the truth is, okay, so we just select what we feel is more relevant to our, you know, social position today. Okay, that man is a liar. They say, well, the Holy Ghost happened on the day of Pentecost, but not necessary for us today. That man is a liar, okay, because they have established a record of their own. They created a record out of their own experience or lack of it. Okay, because they feel that nothing is attainable, there's no direction, they're free to believe what they want. Okay, these are those that will perish in the wilderness. Not government, truth, and spirit. But whoso keeps his word, okay, here the word keeps his word, which has to do with Christ's tutorage. Okay, so you might want to highlight the word his word. But whoso keeps Christ's tutorage, keeps his word in him. That means the tutorage of the Lord in your priesthood, your faith will be made perfect. But whoso keeps his word, the knowledge of the tutorage of the Spirit in him, okay, where Christ is working within you, verily is the love of God perfected. Okay, your charity makes you whole. Okay. And you come and you start growing into maturity. You no longer will be little children tossed to and fro, as James brings out and Paul brings out, by every wind of doctrine. Ephesians talks about that. James brings that out. The little children are wanderers. They're strangers to the covenant. Okay, they want to be free spirited. They just want to carry their Bible and preach what they feel what the Holy Ghost has given them. And what they're preaching is not what the Holy Spirit is giving to them. Because number one, it always comes through government. It comes through apostolic government first, okay? And that is the biblical pattern. Okay? Apostolic government to the people. Okay? So your love is made. The love of God is made perfect. It doesn't mean God's love is lacking. It has to do with that which is you're growing by into maturity by the Spirit. He calls the love of God. You know, he makes a distinction here between man's love and God's love. The love of God is in connection of keeping commandments. It's an expression, not a feeling. It doesn't mean it's apart from feeling. It just means it's an expression, not a feeling. A lot of people put love into a passion. They bring God down to the level of their feeling. Okay, rather than reflecting and mirroring God, okay, they want God to mirror them, so that they can say, that they can look in the mirror and say, "Oh, you're beautiful," but they're only looking at themselves. Okay, they don't see Christ. They only see themselves. The whole gospel centers on how people view them and how they view themselves. That's the gospel of Adam, not God. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now, the word in has to do, okay, with an invisible communion. Invisible communion. Hereby, by this point of discernment, okay, and that's why he says, hereby know we. It is, knowing is the opposite of ignorance. Understanding the record of Christ, we can identify those who are truly in the kingdom of God and those who are trying to intrude into it, okay, by their own person, okay, sectarianism, okay, or as the apostle, yeah, that's what the apostle Paul brings out, okay, being condemned himself. These are those that separate themselves central, Jude said, having not the Spirit, separate themselves centrally. Has to do with being past feeling. Okay, they're using the God, or not the God code, but the moral code within them. Okay, they're trying to exhibit the moral code into the image of Jesus. It's like taking out the heart and carving Jesus' face on it and saying, "See, this is Jesus." No, it's not. That was your heart. Okay, you just mutilated it. Okay, you circumcised yourself on your own concepts rather than entering a covenant with God. Hereby know we that we are in him. That means by this invisible communion, and communion and circumcision. Now he that says he abides in him, verse 6, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now the word walk right there, he's not talking about, you know, going to Palestine. He's not talking about visiting the ancient ruins or putting on Galilean sandals, okay, or a Galilean mantle. Okay, when he says walking as Jesus walked, he's talking about following the same pattern of revelation, resistance, and reward. Okay, by covenant. He that says he abides in him. Abiding in him, which means I'm dwelling in the kingdom of God. Those that say they're in the kingdom of God ought to be expressing charity as Jesus did. That's how Jesus walked. Expressing charity, which was what? All that the Father reveals to him, he does. See, Jesus is not imitating Elijah. Okay, when Jesus' ministry, never at any time did he say, "Oh, look, I'll show you what, I'll just imitate Moses today. Moses opened the Red Sea, so let's go back and do that." You notice he didn't do that. Jesus didn't open up any waters. He said, Jesus didn't say, "Look, Elijah took his mantle and smote the waters. Watch me do it." Jesus never at any time trying to imitate Samson. He say, "Hey, let's get in the middle of these Pharisees and let's really tear them apart." That's event theology. Jesus did not imitate anybody. Neither do we imitate anybody. We follow Christ. We follow after charity, because charity shall cover a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins, which means it removes its power by circumcising our hearts from that tethering of Satan's kingdom. Satan rules the heart by that perception. Jesus rules our heart by his perception. If you want the peace of God to rule in your heart, then you have to do what the Apostle Paul said. Okay, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Okay, and this is his mind, loving one another through charity, revelation, resistance, reward. Okay, all that the Father reveals. Okay, they're following the voice of the Lord, keeping his commandments. He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, expressing of charity. This is a true following Jesus. Brethren, verse 7, I write new commandment unto you. Now we get to this point. Okay, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. What is this commandment he's talking about that was from the very beginning that has never changed? This is a commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything is fulfilled in equity by your faith. So that's what he says. It hangs on it, which means there is equity only in faith. He does. There's nothing wrong with loving your neighbor, but if it's not by the faith, then equity, okay, will be absent. But if it's with faith, then equity will be present, and that is in the covenant. To love God with all your heart has to do with that which is full of faith. That's how Jesus walked. With all your mind, which has to do with the study of doctrine, that's what Jesus did. Okay, with all your strength has to do with your sacrifices. And Jesus did that ultimately with himself. Okay, our sacrifices are the sacrifices of Christ, the sacrifices of the covenant, the sacrifices of charity. Okay, so brethren, I write new commandment unto you. Okay? That the order of activity which I am presenting to you has never changed since the beginning, but an old commandment we have from the beginning. The old commandment is what? Not Moses, but faith. The old commandment is the word. Underline the word word and put the word holy knowledge. The holy knowledge which you're sanctified by, okay, which you have heard from the beginning. These things which we have taught you. Okay, which Jesus, what John is saying here, that which Jesus taught me, I'm teaching you. That is the beginning of your faith. Not at the beginning of the world, but the beginning of your faith. That the old commandment is the word, the knowledge which you have heard from the beginning. Okay, again, a new commandment. Okay, the new commandment has to do these things which I have sanctified for your activity in the second covenant. Now there were other commandments given which identify the activities of those covenants. Abraham's covenant was different than Moses's covenant. Okay, we know that. Okay, when he says that they did not know me by this name. Okay, by God Almighty. They did not know me by this, that I am, tell them that I am has sent you. So when he says this, he says, my name is different because my covenant's different. Okay, we're under covenant Jesus Christ, so his name is different. Okay, his kingdom is different. The covenant's different, his kingdom is different, his name is different. Now when we get to the third covenant, we see in the book of Revelation, I'm going to give you a new name. Okay. He that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more go out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God, the name of city of my God, which is the holy city, New Jerusalem, which comes out from God. And I'll write upon him my new name. Why? Because we're in a different covenant now, see? The name that has been presented to us now is that of Jesus Christ. This is the covenant, the commandment which we're keeping now, as John says. Again, a new commandment. This order of activity is for you at this present time, but it's going to change again. Tongues will cease. Okay, it says prophecy will pass away. Okay, and knowledge will fail. Okay, but my word abides forever. The things which are given to you now are the tools which are necessary for your faith to be expressed with. This is my commandment by which you must love me by. But the time is going to come when that will change, when these tools will not be necessary, okay, because you will have entered into your inheritance, and you will no longer have to study knowledge to know me, because you shall know me even as I know you. Okay? So it won't be necessary. But the study of knowledge is necessary at this present time. As Paul said, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, putting it in its proper covenant, its proper week. Okay, without proper covenant, proper week, then you're mixing the covenants together, called the Doctrine of Nicolaitans. Okay, everyone, the traditions of man have entered into the traditions of God and polluted it. Okay, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, John says, which thing is true? Now the word true, highlight the word true, which means this is the original pattern. Okay, and where is the original pattern? It's in him. Okay, now the second covenant. And where is it? Where is it initiated? And in you. Okay, for service and growth. It was true in him, now in the second covenant, and in you for your service and growth. Because the darkness, that is, of the first covenant tools is past. No longer are we using carnal things, which Satan is tethered to. And the truth, and the true light now shines. Okay, not the symbolic light, the true light. The symbolic light was the lighting of the lamps in the tabernacle, the second sanctuary. Okay, that's where the lamps were. That's why he says the true light, which means now the true light, which is Jesus Christ, not the symbol. Okay, not the symbolisms, not the type and shadows. The types and shadows existed only in part, but it's by his fullness now that we serve him. So he is the true light. The original pattern now shines forth by this knowledge. Okay, and it's by this knowledge that we know him. And the true light now shines in us. That's what he says, in him and in you. Now verse 9. He that says he is in the light, that is the true light of the second covenant, and yet hates his brother. Okay, now the word hate right there, which the Apostle Jude brings out, the word hate has to do with being indifferent, to be indifferent to the gospel. So when he says the word brother right here, he's not talking about as concerning a physical relative. He's talking about a spiritual relative. So he that says he is in the light, okay, walking in the light of the second, the knowledge of the second, God's second covenant kingdom, and yet puts offenses, barriers, and indifferences, okay, concerning his brother. This man is in darkness even until now. Okay, darkness, which means they're serving a different kingdom, okay, and they're under a different tutorage, okay, because the knowledge they speak is knowledge of offense, not the knowledge of building, but the knowledge of destroying. Okay, that brother is in darkness. He hates his brother. Okay, that's what Cain did to Abel. He hated his brother. He found occasions of offense, was indifferent to him, competed to him, was envious of him. Okay, where envy, strife, division exists, so does this particular word here, hate. Okay, the word hate is a strong word. Okay, now God also hates false doctrine. He hates the doctrine of Nicolaitans. We see that in Revelation. Okay, and here, this is this, but the hate of Revelation. When God says, "I hate," which things I hate, he was talking about as concerning these are highly offensive to me. But the word hate here has to do with emulation, envy, and strife. This is a different spirit. Okay, so don't confuse those two, the two words of hate. One has to do with the darkness. One has to do with the light. We hate evil, but we love good. Okay, we hate evil, which means it's highly offensive to us. False knowledge is highly offensive. It's not that we are in emulation. I do not envy darkness. Okay, if I envy darkness, okay, that would be by that spirit of the world, wouldn't it? Okay, but I hate false doctrine. Okay, I hate things which are contrary to God. I hate them with perfect hatred, the psalmist said. Okay, which means these people stand for a whole different system, which is contrary and indifferent to God, and they want to control, to dominate, or destroy. Okay, my faith. So he that says he is in the light, and yet hates his brother is a liar. Or here he says, is in darkness, and he's a liar. He that says he is light, and hates his brother is in darkness even until now, because he's working by another tetherage. Okay, another tutorage. He that loves his brother abides in the light. Now the word love right there has to do with exchange of fellowship, which we talked about in chapter 1. Okay, that which is the steward of the apostles. He that loves his brother abides in the light. Okay, the true light now, not the false light of the tabernacle, the true light of the throne of God. And there is no occasion of stumbling in him. See the word of stumbling right there. Okay, which has to do with offense. Offenses are present through frailty. Okay, but the resolving of them is with faith. And that's why Jesus says, if your brother offend you, forgive him. If your brother offends you, rebuke him. If he says, forgive me, then, or if he repents, then forgive him. Okay, there's a release, but your prayers release your soul, okay, from the tetherage of his offense. Okay, and that's the only thing that can do it, your faith. Now, verse 11, he that hates his brother is in darkness. Okay, again, this is what I brought out earlier. Okay, in his demonic thinking and walks in darkness. Because there's no direction for faith. And there's no direction for faith. And the things that he's resourcing, okay, in order to try to, you say, impact his moral code. So this person that hates his brother is walking by a different standard of precept. The precept works for the moral code. It works for the law of Moses. Okay? And this is what Jesus said. If they hated me, they're also going to hate you. Remember the word I said unto you? If they hated me, they're going to hate you. Okay? If they hated me, they're going to hate you. Okay, because they're following the moral code, and the moral code is honored by man because it's in man, but faith is in God. That's what we honor. We honor faith because faith is in God. The moral code is in the flesh, and that's what man honors. They that honor the flesh honor the moral code. They that honor God honor faith. He that hates his brothers in darkness and walks in darkness, okay, because there is no direction for his faith, okay, being carnal things and false knowledge, and knows not where he goes because there is no discernment. This person is always straining his ears to hear the voice of God, but all he's going to hear is the voice of his own conscience, known as the voice of Wilson, okay, which is going to dictate to him concerning his own frailty. We hear many times televangelists, okay, and conference speakers, Christian conference speakers, speaking openly concerning the conversations they believe God was engaging them with, and everything was the engaging of their frailty. That's the voice of their own conscience. That's the voice of Wilson speaking to them. In other words, a seducing spirit is molding a perception of themselves, okay, and they're just putting an imagination to it to try to make it living. And then they present this to you, okay, as a form of the gospel. That is a lie, okay, because it's not the record of Christ. It's their own record they're speaking of, their own signature. And knows not where he goes. These are the confused people, because that darkness blinded his eyes. They can't perceive because they haven't received. They can't perceive because they haven't received. Without the knowledge of truth, they continually wrest the scriptures to their own destruction, which Peter said, and Paul said this, whose God is their belly, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. Whose God is their belly, which has to do with their feelings and their own signature, their own moral code. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory, which means the fruit of their achievement, is really their shame of reproach. Because it doesn't honor God, it honors themselves. They figure that anything that's achieved is God ordained, but it's not. Because even Pharaoh was wealthy, even Pharaoh was wealthy. Nebuchadnezzar was wealthy. Okay, a lot of heathen kings were wealthy, conquered. Okay, a lot of people overcame many obstacles, okay, but that had nothing to do with God. It had to do with the moral code within them, the God code, the moral code, their signature, the imagination. Okay, which includes all those things. Okay, now I write to you, little children. The first thing he says, little children. Now we're going to see three different stages of growth: little children, fathers, and young men. Little children are those, again, which are double-minded. So he says, little children, would you take God's perspective on this and stop condemning yourself? As long as you view yourself in the eyes of frailty, you will remain indifferent to God. You're walking in darkness. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. When he says for his name's sake, we're talking about is concerning the establishment of his kingdom. Okay, his kingdom has been established. Why are you viewing yourself in the light of your frailty and your failures and your shortcomings? As long as you keep reviewing yourself, that's what you're reciprocating to. Those that reciprocate darkness inherit darkness and confusion. Those that reciprocate light inherit the light and receive peace of mind. Okay. I write to you, little children, because your sins are given you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because knowing him, that's the beginning. This is a relationship of establishing faith. Without faith, there's no relationship with God. Okay, so I write to you, fathers. John is saying this from the standpoint of his own growth, because you have known him as the beginning. Okay, the pattern, the record, okay, the relationship is in that record. Relationship is in the record. Relationship with God is not in precept. Relationship with God is in the record. Okay, we'll go on here. I write to you, fathers, because knowing him from the beginning. Now he says, now the next level of growth. I write to you, young men. Now these are those which are gaining strength. How do you know they're gaining strength? Because you have overcome the wicked one. They're able to identify Satan's distractions. Satan distracts by your own lust. Okay, and when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. You see the progression of destruction. Satan is a great distractor. He continually challenges you at the level of your own lust. Lust in the imagination is a door of his kingdom, okay, whereas Jesus is a door into the bosom of the Father. Okay, I write to you because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Okay, that is because he's nurturing you now through government. Okay, because you have known the Father. He's nurturing you now through government. That's why Jesus says, Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Okay? Jesus says, I am the nurturing Father right now. Okay? As concerning his priesthood, and that's the same thing with us. We are nurturing you as the Father, okay? Because of government. God is nurturing you through government because you have known the Father through this government. Verse 14, I have written to you, fathers, because knowing him is from the beginning. Okay, again, the relationship that was established by this pattern has matured you so that you are also nurturing and sustaining others, as Paul brings out. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That's why it's good to increase your prayer life. That's why it's good to study doctrine. And that's why it's good to attend assembly, because all this is a favorable environment for your growth. I've written to you, young men, because they are strong and the word of God abides in you. Word of God, which means the knowledge of the Spirit, is now taking root in you and fruits made manifest, and you're overcoming. And you overcome the wicked one. Okay? Love not the world. This is where the wicked one lies. Now, the love has to do with the expression of. Okay, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, Paul said. So when here the Apostle John says love, he's talking about that which you're molding your affection for expression with. Affection for expression. Okay, love not the world. That means the tools, its system. Okay, the tools and the system are evil. Okay? It will destroy faith. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, which means don't use these things to express the God code with, or that system. The God code, okay, increases according to the record of Christ, but the God code will decrease and fall into ruin by the signature of man. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He tells the world here is not talking about as concerning earthly substance, but a whole system. A whole system of thinking, a whole culture. Satan's acculturation, okay, has dictated to man the difference between truth and error by his own acculturation, which man cannot determine what is true and what isn't true anymore. All right, for all that is in the world, these things are all separate from government, truth, and spirit. Everything of this dimension is severed from the kingdom of God. For all that is in the world, the tools, its ambition, its principle, okay, its aspiration, all that is in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life, which has to do with the sustaining substance of one's own aspiration, your achievements, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay, so the Apostle John is giving them understanding for discernment. Okay, that they're just because they have achieved certain things, is not mean that God ordained it. Okay, as concerning the ordained it as faith. Okay, but God ordained as concerning your signature, but not as faith. Okay, verse 17, the world passes away. The system and its tools. Okay, it says passes away right here. That's the opposite of eternal life, which we saw in chapter 1. Passing away shows that death has entered into everything, and death will consume everything, because everything is of this dimension. Okay? The world passes away and its lust and its powers. But he that does the will of God works by the power of the Spirit. He will forever live, abides forever. Okay? Little children is the last time. Okay? That means this is the beginning of the 2,000 years before Christ comes. So he says, little children, understand, okay, this is the time, okay, that which Peter spoke of, okay, which all the prophets have spoken about. Okay, it is the last time. The Antichrist is now setting the stage for his reign, okay, but it's 2,000 years in the future yet. Okay, but this is applicable to us today. Little children, stop being double-minded. Be focused with the three C's, communication, conformity, and consistency. Little children, is the last time. And as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. The Antichrist man will come. Not right now, but his presence is seen right now in his system. Right? This is that system that is opposing to God. All right, and even now, it says, and shall come, even now, there are many antichrists. Though antichrist, which means independent of government, establish their own truth, work with a different spirit, as Paul brings out in Corinthians. Whereby we know by this discernment, we know that it is the last time. This is what was revealed to me, John says, in the book of Revelation. When God took me up to this into heaven, the seventh heaven there, and I saw all these visions, God already showed me. See, the darkness is already in the earth, is still present in the earth, and it's developing a whole form of different religion, okay, resourcing the knowledge of God for its own aspiration. Because they went out from us, they abandoned government, okay, but they went out from us, but they were not of us, which means of faith. For if they had been of us, those of faith, they would no doubt have continued with us in government. But they went out, they might be made manifest, and they were not all of us. Okay, that means they're as strangers scattered abroad, James 1:1. They are not all of us. That means they're not of the kingdom of God. Okay, but they're of Antichrist, which is an opposer of the record. Antichrist opposes the record and blasphemes God by establishing himself as a record. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know all things as concerning government, truth, and spirit. Now, remember, John is writing this to those under stewardship. This is why he sent us, but you have an unction. Anybody that's apart from government and reads this and claims this, okay, they're in error. That means they have established themselves again as a record. Because the Holy Ghost only works with this one pattern. The Holy Ghost only works with the pattern of Christ. That's what Jesus said. When a comforter has come, okay, he will bring all things to remembrance, what? Of what I told you. I have not written unto you because you're not the truth. That means truth has been established in the heart. Truth has been set in order already. But because you know it, and that no lies are the truth, a lie, which has to do with the record of man. The record of man is one of aspiration. Okay, but the record of God, which is in Christ, is the truth. The Spirit confirms no other pattern for your priesthood and joy other than what I have given you. Now, who is a liar? Who creates a different pattern? But he that denies that Jesus is the Christ, denies Jesus Christ, which means resists the grace, okay, of the pattern for our faith. And we have a lot of people who say that Jesus is Lord, but they're walking by a different pattern. They're speaking by a different record. They're working by a different spirit. They are a liar. So who is a liar? But he denies that Jesus is Christ, he is Antichrist. Ah, but this is very insulting to God, because a person is standing up, flesh is standing up to rule over God. Okay, he is Antichrist, denies the Father and the Son. That means he sets aside the witness and of that power and the record for our contact, for our contact point. He sets it aside and sets himself up in his own doctrine, okay, for that record. Verse 23. Whosoever denies and sets aside this record, who denies the Son, whosoever denies the Son, the same is not the Father. Okay, this person does not have that anointing, the power, the witness, and the work of regeneration. But he acknowledges the Son has the Father also, which is added in there, but is true. Okay, he that has the Son has the Father also. The person that does follow the record has the Father. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 5. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning, which means let that pattern, okay, or the pattern and this knowledge now which you have received abide in you, which means use it, reciprocate with this in your priesthood, which you have heard from the beginning, okay, from us apostles. If that which you have heard from the beginning, which is from apostles, should remain in you in that pattern, you also should continue in the Son and the Father. Okay? The record is present, and the Father will sustain you. Verse 25, this is a promise he has promised us. This is the promise of the oath. Okay, Satan can make a promise as well as God. But Satan follows, okay, God's, Satan imitates God's pattern, but he doesn't follow the record. Okay, this is the promise he has promised us, that is by this record, even eternal life. Okay, which means this is the perpetual pattern forever and ever and ever, which will increase with the God code within you. The God code is pure, being found in the bosom of the Father, the oath, and it's pure. It must maintain purity by faith, or it can't be received back to him. These things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Okay, concerning them, that means these antichrist preachers, okay, which seduce you by the false record, okay, and seducing spirits. Okay, but the anointing, which comes through government, which you have received of him, abides in you. Okay, the anointing. Okay, the Spirit will continually build and expound and expand the soul through this knowledge. That's the anointing he's talking about. He's not talking about anointing as something outside of you. He's talking about the anointing which works within you. But the anointing which you have received of Christ abides in you, and you need not any man teach you. That means you don't need to pray about discernment. Okay, for the anointing makes that decision for you. You don't have to pray about discernment. The anointing makes that decision for you. We hear Christians many times saying, that's particularly little children, right? Not in physical age, but in understanding. Okay, praying about what the will of God is. Okay, but the anointing doesn't resource anything outside. It works from within. But the anointing which you have received them abides in you, and need not that any man teach you. He's not saying that teachers aren't necessary. He's talking about the Holy Ghost will be your pair of eyes as you mature in him. Okay, because he'll give sight. Need not that man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you view of all things. All things in regards to the government, truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, okay, gifts, callings, the grace of God, and is truth, as I just said, and is no lie. It does not misrepresent God. It does not set a different pattern for God. It is the truth is that one pattern. And even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. Okay, abide in him, because he is the true refuge of government, okay, and the Spirit confirms that record. Let's leave the last two verses right here. And all little children abide in him. Little children, again, he's eternally addressing those which are double-minded. Okay, little children, continually rehearse this knowledge, rehearse, okay, and reflect and reciprocate. Those are the three R's, okay, for our Christian living, as the three R's of revelation, resistance, and reward. All right, not miracles, healings, walking on water, and casting out devils. Okay, the record of Jesus Christ is in this pattern. And now, little children, abide in him. Use the tools of this priesthood, that when he shall appear, that is to judge your faith, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Okay, be faith. That means you choosing faith, you be full of fruit and not fruitless. Okay, and before him, which means, and before him, it means God will reward your choices. He'll reward your faith. That's what you want. Last verse. If you know that he is righteous, which means understanding that the whole knowledge that the Spirit only uses. If you know that he is righteous, that's standard and measurement of the face of the Lord. You know that everyone that does righteousness, following the same tethering to Christ, is born of him, because we're carrying his mark within our soul.